chapter 1 is where we'll be looking at this morning. And 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading at verse number 1. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 1 says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called, unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for all that you are to us, all that you have called us unto, and we just pray you'd bless, Lord, as we look into your word, these different concepts that you put forth can help us and guide us through our lives. We just pray you would be with us, Lord, and speak unto us through your word this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Our salvation is something that each of us as believers rejoice in, and it's something that we should never cease to rejoice in. But it's when we take that step where we trust in Christ and we pass from death unto life that our eternal destiny is secured, that it's a glorious day where when heaven came down and glory filled our soul, as the song says, that we pass from death unto life, that our sins are forgiven, that we're adopted as God's child, that we praise the Lord for his mercy and grace in our salvation. And we recognize that much is settled in that fateful decision that we make when we trust in Christ. Our eternal destiny is settled. Our relationship with God is reformed. It can never be disannulled. But we need to see as well that the day of our salvation was only the start of something. That we're born again and that we have a new life in Christ. We're raised to walk in newness of life. He came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. And our Christian life does not and it should not consist of, okay, well, I'm saved. Now I'm just going to kind of kill time until I die or until the Lord comes. And then I'll be with him forever in heaven. That's not what God desires for us. And God does not just touch our lives upon salvation, then kind of give us a list of things that we're supposed to do, and then kind of goes away and says, well, I'll see you on the other side when you get to heaven, and if you did what I told you to do, then kind of you'll be rewarded. That he doesn't leave us just to kind of muddle through life on our own. And as we touched on last week, God has called us to a relationship with him. That's what he's designed us for. What he created us to do was to be able to relate to him. It was what sin marred, but it is what grace can restore. The idea of being close to him and being changed as a result. And furthermore, to be used of him to change the world around us. That this relationship we can have, that we can interact with him, that he is with us, he can impart himself unto us, impart his grace and his guidance and his strength. And we see in this passage that we're looking at that it speaks of the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that this abundant grace that he gives us in time of need, and that in everything ye are enriched by him, that we have a lot of things in this day and age. You go to the grocery store and you'll see different juices that are like vitamin C enriched or different health bars that are supposed to be enriched with other things, and it's the idea that there's a whole lot of stuff packed into them that's beneficial, that's going to help you. And that's the idea that we're enriched by him, that he doesn't give us just a little bit, he gives us an abundance, that we're enriched by him, that we have all that we need, that there's nothing lacking. And we see that in all utterance and in what to say, in knowledge of how to understand things, and it's that we have nothing lacking. He wants to help us succeed. We see how it says that we come behind in no gift, that when the day of the Lord comes, that we might be found blameless. That's what he wants. He wants to give us his grace for that. But we see in verse 9 that he calls us not merely to a relationship, but to fellowship with him, to the fellowship of his son. And you can think of it this way, that you could have a relationship with someone. Say you had a rich uncle that had a lot of money, and you try to kind of stay on his good side, and say you need a favor, and so you go to him and he helps you out, he gives you money, but then that's kind of, you only really see him when you have trouble, that he's kind of a lifeline there for you. But it's kind of, he has his separate life and you have your separate life, and they just kind of touch when you have a need. And we, as Christians, we may view or we may conduct ourselves as if we thought a relationship with God was that way, that that if there's trouble, he's there to help us, but that's kind of all that it is. He calls us to something much greater, something much closer. Fellowship is the idea of intimacy, of friendship, of a yoking together, where he is near and not far off, that there's a closeness, that we have the same goals, the same focus. Someone has defined fellowship as everybody in the same boat rowing in the same direction, that it's, we're together, that we're on the same page, that we're communing with him. And sometimes in our Christian lives, we felt that, that we have a nearness to the Lord, we experience it from time to time, and we want to find our way back to that, that we have that closeness. But we recognize that it, God's plan isn't something for us to have that closeness just kind of at different points in our life, but all the time in our life. It's what he desires for us. And we realize that to be truly blessed, to have a blessed and fruitful life, that we need that. That Jesus declared in John chapter 15 of the idea of him being the vine and us being the branches, and that we're to be tapped into him, be connected with him. John 15 verse 4, it says, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." That we want a fruitful life, and we recognize that it's by abiding in him. And when we think of abiding in him, sometimes we have a time of devotion with him, a time where we can draw close to him in prayer and studying God's word, and we feel his presence, we feel his nearness to us, and we don't want to leave it, that kind of we start our day in prayer and it's a good time, and but then we have to get on with the affairs of the day, and it's kind of this thought, well, I want to be able to take God with me through the day if I could. And we sometimes get discouraged when we have a closeness with God, but then we start our day and then life happens and we get frustrated already, and we're like, well, how could I go from having that closeness to the Lord and then acting the way that I am? And why does that happen? And we want to find a way to stay kind and patient and compassionate through the day. And so this thought of abiding with God and having fellowship with him, we want to see that it's not something that's just static, that happens at a certain time of our day, a certain place, that it's to be an all-time thing. And we ask, well, how do we get it to become an all-time thing? How do we essentially try to get God to come with us in our day? But the problem is that we're missing something in our understanding, that when Christ calls us to fellowship with him, to abide with him, that he's calling us on a journey. And it is not him tagging along with us as we live our lives, but rather us tagging along with him and walking together. And there's different glimpses of this idea given in the Old Testament. We see two men specifically that are mentioned in the early portions of the Bible. Genesis chapter 5, we see the man by the name of Enoch. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 21, and it's something that as you read this, or if you even listen it on a CD or something like that, that you kind of see that there's a definite difference with Enoch, that many of these people, that they lived and they had children, they lived some more, and that they died. And it says, well, this is how long they lived. But we see with Enoch, verse 21, "And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And so we see this relationship, that it was different, that Enoch was had this relationship with God that was close, that he was actually walking with God. We see as well in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9, speaking of Noah, that he was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And we wonder, when it says walk with God, we wonder, what does that mean? What does it entail? And we recognize, well, it's so many years in the past that there's certainly no one living that can kind of explain to us, having been there and seeing Enoch and Noah, exactly what it meant. But we do see from this that it is possible for someone to walk with God, because we see just in these two chapters that this instance of two people that were able to walk with God. We see as well with Abraham of how he was called out from what he knew, that he was led by God into a place he'd never been before, and he lived as a stranger and as a pilgrim, as a nomad his entire life, dwelling in tents, not having a place really to call his own, and he was doing it by faith. We see the record in Hebrews 11. It says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promises, in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. That he went not knowing where he was going, but he knew that God was with him, and that God was going to direct him and guide him. And we see as well the children of Israel in the wilderness. There's so much, actually, as we study through Exodus and the wilderness wanderings and things, that there's so much that is a picture of the gospel, a picture of God's plan and desire for each of us individually. That we think of how they were freed from slavery in Egypt, just as we are freed from the slavery of sin. We think of how God was leading them to the promised land, a place of milk and honey, and it's the same thought that God wants to lead us to a place in our Christian life of blessing and fruitfulness. But we see that in that God didn't get them out of Egypt and then just kind of abandon them and tell them, well, just kind of find your way over there, and when you get there, I'm going to bless you. We see that he was with them all the way, that the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire was with them at all times. His guidance was there, his provision, his protection was always with them. And we see this spoken of by Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 1 said, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. That God was with them, that God was leading them and guiding them, and he did not depart from them. And as he was with them, so he wants to be with us, that he calls us on a journey to him, with him. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, that he says, well, what does the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God? That's what he wants us to do, is to walk with him. And we desire fruitfulness, we desire victory in our life, and it comes as we do that, as we walk with him. We see in Romans chapter 8, where it speaks of this. In Romans chapter 7, it's filled with just kind of Paul's frustration and futility, that he was trying to be good, but that the sin nature within him kept causing him to do wrong, and he wondered, well, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? But we see in chapter 8 and verse 1 of Romans, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For we weren't to walk after the Spirit in our lives, that we, as Christians, we don't want to be the children of God in name only, that we're adopted into his family, but yet we still act as children of the devil. But we see in verse 14 where it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That as we're guided by him, that we fulfill that truly in our lives. Galatians chapter 5 as well. In verse 16 he says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. And it gives the works of the flesh, it gives the fruit of the Spirit. That's what we desire. And we see verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That if we've trusted Christ as Savior, that we want to walk him, that he calls us on to a journey with him. And that's what we want to recognize, that that's what God has designed the Christian life to be, is a journey with him. That's why he indwells us with his Spirit, to be with us whithersoever we go, that we enjoy his presence, we enjoy his guidance, his protection, and his strengthening. But as we begin to understand this concept of journeying with God, there's certain truths that become clear as well, and we need to understand them. These are essentially ground rules, as it were, in our journeying with God. When we begin our journey with God, the first thing we ask ourselves, well, who's in charge? Who's deciding which path to take? And we say, okay, is it the God of heaven and earth, or is it me? And we recognize, no, it's going to be the God of heaven and earth. But we recognize that a tendency is we tend to want it to be the other way. We have our plans, we have our agenda. We want him to tag along and bless our plans, but it doesn't work that way. And if there's a conflict between his plans and our plans, the direction we want to go, the direction he wants to go, that we need to follow him. He's not ruining our fun. We realize that he knows the way. He knows what's best. That he's been on this path before. He knows what he's doing. And if we trust him and we follow him, we'll find that his way was so much better than our way. And we ask as well, if I'm going to journey with God, what is the destination? What are we headed for? I think with any of us, if we get on a trip with someone, we want to know where it's headed. We get on a bus, or a plane, we want to make sure that it's going to the place that we want. And we recognize the destination the Lord has for us is essentially the promised land, a place of blessing, a place of fruitfulness in our lives, where we find fulfillment, we find our lives being used to touch other lives as we labor together with him. A life that accomplishes something, a life that counts for eternity. And we think of that, of our destination, we say, well, yes, sign me up. That's where I want to go. I want to have my ticket punched to go there with you. But then we ask the question, well, what route are we taking? And as we have nowadays with GPS and with MapQuest, that's kind of what we do, is this is where I am, and then we say, well, this is where I want to get to, and then we have it plot our course. And what happens sometimes as the Lord begins to plot our course for us, we say, wait a minute, I don't want to go through that. I need you to find an alternate route, that's not the way I want to go. That the Lord might have us go through suffering. He might have us go through trial. He might have us go through loss or through some very dark places in our lives. And we want to say, well, wait a minute, there's no way I'm going through that. How could you even think of letting me go through that? But the fact that whatever we go through, he is right there beside us to encourage us, to comfort us, to even carry us if he needs to. That it's the thing that it doesn't matter what we're going through. What matters is that he's with us whatever we go through. And sometimes we make a mistake that when circumstances get bad, that we either refuse to follow the Lord or we run away from Him, that He's leading the way, He's our shepherd, and we're a sheep going astray. And we put ourselves in a very bad situation, because what we end up trying to do is to face all those troubles alone, which He never intended. That we seem to be okay for a while, but then the darkness crowds around us, we feel the devil is drawing close to us, and we cry out, and He rescues us, and He defends us as a shepherd with his rod and His staff, that He takes us up and He heals our wounds, and He says to us, "Stay close to Me." And that's a thought, that if we're going through dark and difficult times, the closest place, the safest place to be, is right next to Him, as close to Him as we can be. That He wants to instruct us and teach us in the way that we should go. He wants to guide us with His eye. That He wants us that close to Him. And that's the place of safety. And that's the place that He desires for us. And sometimes, sadly, we get in trouble and we have Him help us, and He's there, He's so close, and He's calling us, "Okay, now go this way, don't go that way anymore." But we say, "Well, no, I still want to do it my way, I still want to find my own way." And it's so often our own lack of faith in Him, or even our own stubbornness, that makes life so difficult. That whatever we face, as long as we're close to Him, that we can handle it. That He's going to take care of everything. That there's not something that we need to be afraid of if He's with us. We see this in Psalm chapter 91. Psalm 91 and verse 4, it says, "He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee." And that's the thought, that things can happen all around us, but if He is with us, we need not to fear, that He's going to watch over us, that He's going to be right there with us. And that's the place of safety, that whatever we might go through, that's not our concern. The concern is God's going to be with us, that He knows what's best, and that He's going to put us through that because He wants to teach us something. He wants us to draw us closer to Himself. He wants us to experience His power and His grace, even in a difficult situation, that He can be with us. And the more we draw close to Him in those times, the better it is for us as we follow closely to Him. But we recognize as well that if we're going to follow after God, if we're going to journey with Him, if we're going to walk with Him arm in arm, there are some things that we're going to have to leave behind, things that we're going to have to cast away. That there's so much in this world that weighs us down, that slows us down, that hinders us in walking with Him. Sins that do so easily beset us, that shackle us, that slow our progress. And things that either we're not willing or we're not able to free ourselves from. That it's a thought that if we walk with Him and we make that our focus, and we look to Him for grace, we're willing to submit to His leadership, that His power is able to come into our life, and He can tear off those shackles, hurl them in the dust, so that we can walk in liberty with Him. That's what He desires to do. And there can be things we cling to just in case of emergency, that kind of our lack of faith, that even though we kind of know, well, God's going to look after us, we kind of have our emergency kit. Well, just in case God failed me, this is what I'm going to cling to. And it's these things just bog us down and hold us back. It's kind of reminds me of the story of the Franklin expedition, and when they got in the far north, when they got stuck in the ice and they left the boat that they dragged with them, trunks of books to read and tea sets and all these other things with them across the snow, just slowing them down and keeping them from getting to any place of safety or success. And that's not what we want to do. That we want to as we learn to journey with Him, that we don't need all these other things, that He's going to take care of us. We don't have to cling to Him, that we can rest upon Him completely and just give our lives in full abandonment to Him and know that all our needs are going to be looked after and that we're going to enjoy it so much more if we just give those things up and follow Him completely. And we realize that as we learn to trust Him more and as we journey with Him, that He's going to take us through experiences that we never thought were possible, that we're going to see Him do great and mighty things that we didn't ever think of before. We think of all the things that the children of Israel went through, of how they saw God's power, of how they saw Him part the waters, how they saw Him bring water out of the rock, of how He provided them manna in the desert. And there is so much that things happen and they didn't know what was going on, and they'd complain and they'd get upset and they'd say, well, let's go back to Egypt, this isn't working out for us. But always God would see them through. Always God was with them. And the thing was is that if they just would have trusted Him and sat back and just kind of enjoyed the ride, as it were, they would have seen and so much more of how God was working. And that's the thing, is that He wants to show us these great things. He wants to do great things in us and through us. And as He does that, it just makes us want to follow Him all the more, that we can look back and say, Lord, well, I remember back in that situation we were in together and things were not looking good and I didn't know what You were going to do, and I thought, well, it's not going to work out at all, but then You just did what You did and You fixed it and You made it better than I could ever imagine. That was just so amazing what You did back there. I'm looking forward to see You do that again. You did it back then, I want to keep going just to find out what the next thing is that You're going to do. That the Christian life is never a dull life if we walk with the Lord. That He's going to bring us through a lot of different things that'll be more fulfilling than anything that this world might have to offer. And so we want to learn to do that, to follow Him, and realize that it's going to be worth it the closer we draw to Him, and as we walk with Him, that we make that our practice, that it'll be a help and a blessing to us. There's a hymn in our hymn books, and I don't know the tune at all, but I'll just read the words. It is glory just to walk with Him, is the title of it. And it says, it is glory just to walk with Him whose blood has ransomed me. It is rapture for my soul each day. It is joy divine to feel Him near where'er my path may be. Bless the Lord, it's glory all the way. It is glory when the shadows fall to know that He is near. Oh, what joy to simply trust and pray. It is glory to abide in Him when skies above are clear. Yes, with Him it's glory all the way. 'Twill be glory when I walk with Him on heaven's golden shore, never from His side again to stray. 'Twill be glory, wondrous glory, with the Savior evermore, everlasting glory all the way. That we recognize that it's glory to walk with Him. That's what He calls us to, that He beckons to us, that we are called to the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, that we're called to journey with Him through our lives, that He's going to take us to a place of blessing and fruitfulness. He's going to take us through challenges, but He'll be with us all the way through, and He'll help us succeed. He'll help us have the victory. And so may the Lord help us, that we would stop trying to live our lives on our own or trying to live our lives our own way and hope that God will bless it, but rather that we surrender ourselves to His unquestionable wisdom, His unquestionable love, that as He beckons us, that we would take His hand and that we would walk with Him moment by moment, day after day. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You for Your word once again. We just thank You as well for what You desire for us to enjoy with You, Lord. And we just pray You would increase our faith, that we would recognize You are with us, recognize what You want to do in our life, and that we would learn to make this true in our life, that we would walk with You as Enoch and others did, Lord, that we can truly find blessedness and fruitfulness in You. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's stand. We'll turn to one more hymn, number 328, and we'll sing Close to Thee, number 328.